If you're ready for the word, say, I'm ready.
I am
too. Mark 4, verse 21 says, Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a bowl or a basket? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light and it will shine. If you like titles for messages, the title of today's message is This Little Light of Mine. This Little Light of Mine. And speaking of light, the last 48 hours, a lot of our men from the church got away right down the road, and we had a retreat, the first annual men's retreat, and y'all, we turned up. It was awesome. Yeah. And some of y'all showed up this morning. I figured y'all would still be asleep. Thank you for coming. We had so much fun. I actually got a picture. We all throw that picture up there from the men's retreat. Y'all look so cute, guys. Y'all, let me tell you, getting this picture taken was like pulling teeth. I was mad. I had to pray afterwards. I was like, y'all do not listen. I'm like, we need 10 people to come forward. Everybody's like, we don't want to be doing this, you know? And so we missed several people weren't even in the picture because they were so disobedient. And we had a good time. And there's in a second, I'm going to show you a video. And what was really cool was during worship, I walked outside into the middle of the campground, and you could hear men worshiping Jesus echoing throughout this entire place. Y'all, I want y'all to check this out. It's really awesome.
White as snow.
We're singing along. That was so sweet. Y'all, we had an amazing, can y'all give it up for the men that went to the retreat? And we are believing that that's the beginning of a move of God in the men of New Life Church. And I just want to plug groups. We've got groups for men available in the foyer today. If you want to get into a life group and make a difference here, and for somebody to know your name and hear your story and speak to your potential, that's the place to do that. We'd love for you to get in a group. All right, question. Raise your hand. I'm interested to see. Not yet. Don't raise it. All right. Raise your hand if you were born after 2000. Be honest, raise it high. Wow. Y'all, the rest of us, we are so old. You can lower them. I think it was like 2000 or 2001, there was this big ice storm that swept, y'all remember this, that swept through Arkansas, and I was in central Arkansas at the time, and it knocked out power for like 10 days in some places. We lived out kind of in the country, and so we got a service a little bit later. There was no electricity, and it was crazy. Everybody's kind of freaking out and couldn't go to Walmart, couldn't do anything. It was just, everything was shut down. But it's interesting because when the power goes out and you can't watch TV and there's no cell phone service, you actually have to talk to like your family. And so we were like sitting in the living room, and we were like huddled around, and we had one candle, you know, it was like lighting the room up. And then we had this propane heater that was kind of like putting off a little heat. We were hanging blankets in the doorways so that it trapped all the heat in this room. And like, we were all just staring at each other. I mean, y'all, a week's a long time, like, to be in that room, you know? And no one's going outside because it's too cold. No one wants to do, you know, it's just, it's such an interesting time. And I was thinking back to this story because we would light a little candle at night, and it would sit on the coffee table as we were kind of sprawled out across the living room. And that one little light made a pretty big impact in the room. Just a little bit of light illuminated the darkness. And as I was praying this morning and thinking about this message this week, I've learned personally in my short walk with Jesus, I'm not an expert by any means, that just a little bit of light can make a pretty big difference. I don't know if you have looked around, but we live in a dark world. Would everybody agree? Like, there's a lot of darkness in the world. There's crazy stuff, lots of sketchy stuff going on, right? And we have an opportunity to be light. And I just pray, today's going to be short and sweet. It's very simple. But I want you to know this as we dive into the text this morning. Yes, darkness is opposition, but it also is a really big opportunity. Darkness is opposition, but darkness also is an opportunity for us to shine bright as the church. Matthew says it this way in chapter 5. He says, you, everybody say, me? Yes, you. You are the light of the world. He's talking to his disciples, and this is to Christ's followers. He's saying, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Would you write this down? You, or make it personal, say, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. This word, you, just to start at the foundation, in the Greek, this word you is written in the present tense. And so what that means is Jesus is looking at his disciples and he is saying, right here, right now, in this very moment, you guys are the light of the world. Yes. Now just go with me. He's not before this moment, he's saying, you guys, Christ followers, right here, there's 12 of you. And honestly, you guys, when I look at the disciples, it gives me a lot of hope because those dudes were messed up. And if they could be light, we could be some light. And so he says, you're the light of the world. This is present tense. It's right here, right now. There's no plan B. You are plan A. You are the light. And if you do not shine bright, then darkness will be present. Just imagine Jesus kind of, his Sermon on the Mount, he clears his throat a little bit and he's saying, let me make this really simple for everybody. This is not complex. This is not this crazy idea. You don't have to go to Bible school to understand this. He's saying, hey, if you don't shine your light, nobody will. These 12 men, they end up multiplying and multiplying in the early church. And we see we're a byproduct of a few men and women's obedience back in the New Testament. I just think it's beautiful. Today, nothing is different. And what breaks my heart as a pastor, if I could just be transparent with you this morning, for some of you in this room, when you hear you are the light of the world, you're thinking, well, that ain't present tense for me. It's past tense. Because when I think about the good things that God has done or the miracles that he's done or what he's capable of doing, all I can think about is what was 5 years ago. Oh, 10 years ago, we had a retreat like that, or 15 or 20 or 30 years ago. Or maybe you are so focused on what God did last week, you are missing the moment that you are in to be a light in a dark place. Maybe you used to be a light. Maybe you used to burn bright for Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, what happened? What set in on you? What discouraged you to stop shining bright? What was it? I want to unpack this today. God wants light to be present in darkness. We are plan A. It's the church. This word light, in the original, in the Greek language, it's where we get the word photograph. And it's interesting because he's saying you are the light of the world. Or maybe you are a picture of Jesus to the world around you. Let me put it this way. Who knows what a Polaroid camera is? Shake it like a Polaroid. Okay, so you know the Polaroid picture, the old cameras, not the new ones, okay? The new ones, like they're like all fancy, you know. The old ones, you had to lock those elbows in. And if you moved any, what would happen? It would be a blurred picture, right? You would look at the picture, you're like, I can't even tell that's a person. What's interesting is the same thing happens in the church. Same thing happens with Christians. The world is wanting to see a difference. And so often we check the box on Sunday, we leave, and we look like the rest of the world, and it's a blurred, distorted picture of who Jesus is. And Jesus, he's saying, it's very simple. Hey, you, present tense, are the light, a picture of me. And he's saying, hey, guys, don't mess this up. you got one job, you know? Don't mess it up. I just want to ask you, when people see your life, when people see your life as a Christ follower, what kind of picture of Jesus are they seeing? Light does many things. But in this passage, I was drawn to these three things. Light reveals truth. Light illuminates darkness. And light guides others. We all know that Jesus is a light, and I want you to make it personal this morning and ask the question, am I revealing truth to others? Am I illuminating darkness, or am I making the room darker? Am I guiding other people with my life? Jesus, we know he says this. He says, I am the light of the world. Now, fast forward. He's looking at his disciples, and he says, you are the light of the world. Anybody else kind of confused? Okay, so you're the light. We're the light. So who's the light? Okay, you're the light of the world. You're looking at a bunch of jacked up dudes saying, you are the light of the world also. So let's break this down. I heard this old preacher say this, and it's too good not to repeat. He said, Jesus is a lot like the sun, the S-U-N. And we, as Christ followers, are a lot like the moon. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a moon, all right? We're a lot like the moon. He produces the light, and this is what we do. We reflect it. The moon does not have its own light. Some of y'all going back to science class. It reflects the light of the sun. Now, it's interesting. This is what he said. He said the only time that the moon does not reflect the light of the sun is during an eclipse. It's an eclipse. And he said the eclipse is when the world gets in between the sun and the moon. Because the world is in between, now there's darkness. And I was like, man, this is going to preach on Sunday. And he gets close, he whispers, and he says, some of you are having a spiritual eclipse because the world has gotten between you and Jesus. And you are no longer reflecting the light because the world is in the mix. The world is between you. I know for me, the church, we often say the world, right? It's the world or the culture. What is the world? What does this mean when we hear this in church? The world. Chapter 4 of Mark and James, many other people wrote about this, that the world is a lot like thorny soil. And he says in the parable of the sower and the four soils, you've got good soil and rocky soil and pressed down soil. And there's this soil that is crowded and it's being choked out. And the word says that the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of our flesh, our sin nature, have choked out the word of God. And this is what happened. It makes your life unfruitful. Your life is unfruitful, and then you are not reflecting the light of Jesus anymore. What happened? The world got between you and Jesus. The pleasures of this world got between you and Jesus. It happens to all of us, especially when it comes to worry. Everybody say worry. I worry. And I read scripture that says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's sometimes a little bit easier said than done, right? Would y'all agree? I worry. I worry. I overthink things. I'm meditating on things that I don't even have the power to control sometimes. And I worry. Worry is a real thing. We worry about all kinds of stuff. The kids. We worry about our spouse. We worry about being single. Anybody like, I think I'm going to be single the rest of my life. Just worry to death about it. Just be patient. I met my wife at church, so just look around. You know, I'm just kidding. All right. Worried about money, worried about the house, worried about bills, and worried about the weather. What are we going to wear? It's too cold. It's too hot. Worried. Some of us worry about food all the time. And we think about dinner, or we think about breakfast, and you're at dinner the night before. Anybody do this? I'm like, what am I going to have for breakfast tomorrow? I love food. I think about food a lot. And then when breakfast comes, I'm already thinking about lunch. and then dinner, and then the fourth meal, hashtag Taco Bell, okay? Like, we can worry ourselves to death. Some of us, we will worry so much about tomorrow, we don't even know how today's gonna turn out. Worry. What about next week or the next month or the next year? And we can get 10 years down the road, and what happens is we are so worried about this other reality that we aren't even being a light in the present moment. Worry. Well, who am I gonna marry? What school am I gonna go to? What am I gonna major in? Who should I date? What should I wear? What are people gonna think about me? Just worried. This is what happens is we worry as if God has fallen off of his throne. We worry as if God fell asleep. Now, some of you are like, well, if you're worried, what you're trying to do is take control of something that you really don't have control of. Worried. I struggle with this. I wrestle with this every day. I was worried this morning. I was worried in between services. Worried. Listen, the same God that spoke the earth into existence is the same God that wants to help you with your worry. Y'all know that old song, he's got the whole world. I don't care how you voted on that thing. In his hand, he got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, but we still worry every day. Worry. Some of us, it's not this crazy sin issue or this addiction or this toxic relationship or pornography or whatever, but we are so worried that we are choking out life and we can't even make the most of the moment that we're in. This God that he spoke the earth into existence, the beginning, says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This is the guy who created something out of nothing. Can we just go there? There's nothing, and he made something. Oh, let's do light and darkness today. With land animals and fish and water and stars and a moon and the sun. This is the God that we serve. But then he says, you know what? I'm going to take time and make my children with my hands. I'm going to form them in my image. I'm going to make mankind. And we can worry ourselves to death. God has not left his throne. Maybe the only thing that you need to hear this morning is this. Do not worry. Do not lose heart. Why? Because he has overcome the world. Being a light as a Christian is not a recommendation, by the way. It's a command. So he says, if you are going to follow me, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, this is, y'all, just go, can we just go there? Just imagine Jesus is on the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking with the disciples and these crowds of people are down below. And Jesus is like, I don't know how they're going to receive this. Hey guys, hey, real quick, can y'all listen real quick? Hey, I'm going to ask y'all to pray about something. Hey, if you get a second, if you got some extra time, I know y'all just dropped everything. Matthew, you're not doing tax stuff anymore. And the fishermen, you're not fishing anymore. I know y'all left everything to follow me. But hey, just real quick, if you don't mind, could you guys pray about like maybe being a light? Y'all see how crazy this sounds? Only if it doesn't like make you uncomfortable. Like, yeah, like just pray about it. You know, like what it's between you and God. It's not a recommendation as a Christ follower. He's saying you are the light of the world. Amen. He left. He died for our sin. He went to spend time with his Father in heaven, and he left us the best gift ever, the Holy Spirit, to be a light to guide us and lead us and direct us. I just want to encourage you this morning. I know that worry is like a wet blanket, which is just a weird phrase, right? And it gets thrown on the fire that's burning bright in your life, and it puts it out. Jesus is saying, let the work that has been done inside of you be seen on the outside of you. Let it be seen outside of you. I want to ask you a question today. We asked this several months ago. If you were arrested today, which hopefully this does not happen, If you were arrested today for being a follower of Jesus, would there be enough evidence as they examine your life? Would there be enough evidence to convict you of who you say that you are? In Matthew 7, he addresses this. I know for years of my life, my mouth was saying one thing, but my life was saying something else. And in the Bible, he calls that a hypocrite. I was a hypocrite for a long time. Matthew 7, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But what does it say? But only the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Listen, part of God's will for your life, remember, it's not a recommendation, it's a command as a Christ follower, is to be a light. It's to reflect the light of Christ every place that you go. Would you write this down? Don't hide the light. Don't hide the light. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I was laughing as we were writing the sermon because the first sermon I ever spoke, ever, and it was an accident. I wasn't even supposed to be the speaker. The guy got sick, okay? They're like, will you do it? And I was like, I'm always second choice. Absolutely, I love it, okay? I was at this church camp, and there was high school students. I don't know if you know this, but preaching to students is intimidating. Y'all are intimidating, but students are way more intimidating because you know I know y'all judging, but like they're judging you, especially middle school students, okay? They're like, this loser, okay? And so... So I'm at this camp, I'm freaking out, I got 3 hours to write this message, I've never really done this, and I was so nervous. And they said, we need you to talk about being a light. I was like, sounds easy enough. And so, you know, I get this message, y'all, this was the worst message ever. Like, and so I get up, and before they all get into the room, I was like, I've got a brilliant idea. I'm gonna find a lamp. And so I got this little battery-powered light, it's like a lot like this, and I, you know, I pulled it up and I set it on the ground. And before they came in, I got this, you know, those big gray trash cans at camp. I turned it over, set it on top of it. And that was my pulpit. It was a great pulpit. And I was just like, this is gonna be so good. They're coming in. They don't know the light's under there. They knew the whole time. What's under the trash can? What's under the trash can, dummy? Like, you know, like, so, y'all, I built this thing up. I mean, the end of the message was, I was so ready to move the trash can, and that light would just, it was dark in the room. It's like the mood was set, and I was like, I cannot wait, and I built it up. We're a light. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it up. You didn't know, but there's been a light present this whole time, and I moved the trash can, and the batteries had died, and I was like, you idiot, you know, and it got quiet because everybody's like, oh, that's not good, you know, and I was like looking at the trash can, I was like, this is what we look like when we don't burn bright for Christ, you know, it's like, I didn't prepare for this moment, I don't know what to say, and then I heard a kid whisper up front, and he was like, loser, you know, he was like, so here we are today, and I hope this message is better than the last one, but production team, y'all don't do anything weird. Production team, will y'all kill the lights back there? I want to give y'all a little cheesy illustration. You know, it's interesting because you don't realize how dark the world is until you turn on the news sometimes. You don't realize how dark it is until you start scrolling through social media. I'm going to tell you this in advance, like election is coming, you're going to realize there is a lot of darkness in the world. People start shouting from the rooftops on Facebook and social media, and there's so much darkness, but in the middle of darkness, I told y'all at the beginning, all it takes is just a little bit of light. And what's crazy is some people have gone their entire walk with God, and they are convinced that they are supposed to be a spotlight and point out the sin of everybody else. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to shine you in the back. I apologize. And that's not the light that Jesus has called us to. He has asked for you to put your lamp on a stand and let it shine bright. I know y'all have heard the song. I didn't grow up in church, but I've heard people sing it. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Everybody, come on. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of, there we go. I'm gonna let it shine. They'd be like, what happened to church? Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! Okay, I turn the lights on, turn it on. So some of y'all are like, what kind of cult is this, okay? Like, listen, light shines the brightest in darkness. And I know that this is so simple, this is elementary, but y'all, the simple things are the first to go. Every time Jesus is looking at these men and he says, you, right now, present tense, are the light. You're a picture of what I am and who I am to the world around you. You are either shining bright or you are hiding your light. People can either see Jesus in you or they can see you. You're either leading people closer to Jesus or you're leading them further away. And I just want to be confident that as for this house, we will serve the Lord. As for this house, we lead people to Jesus. As for this house, it ain't about us. It's about him. It's less of me and more of him. I must decrease and he must increase. This is simple, but it's so hard to do sometimes. Because what happens is things get in between us and Jesus. Maybe it's an addiction. Well, whatever sin it may be a toxic relationship. And every single time you go back to it, you're sucked back in and you can't live for God. Maybe you're here and you've never healed from your past. And as I was writing this, it was just jumping off. Like there are people that want to serve God so bad, but you are a broken vessel. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being broken. God is the expert at putting broken things back together. But there is something wrong when you are broken and you refuse to receive God's healing. I'm going to stay bitter. I'm going to stay mad and I'm going to stay angry and I'm going to be frustrated. Listen, I know that people hurt people, but someone who has not prioritized the healing in their life, you will duplicate the same thing. And what happens is people go and they say, well, I'm just gonna lead. And you start leading people and you think that you're leading people. This happens in the workplace. This happens in families. This happens in church all the time. And someone who didn't prioritize healing and receiving Jesus' grace and showing that grace to someone else, they didn't prioritize healing. And so they think they're leading, but what they're doing is they are bleeding on every person they come in contact with. And somebody's like, I didn't deserve that. Why do they treat me that way? Why do they talk to me like that? Why do they? And this is what happens when we don't prioritize healing. In this text, it wasn't a battery-powered light. It was actually more like a bowl. It was a vessel or some kind of vase of some sort. And what they would do is they would fill it with oil, which is very symbolic. We don't have enough time to talk about it all. And there would be a floating wick. They would light the wick and the oil would produce what was needed for the light to burn bright. But I just want to give you a visual. What if that bowl or that vessel was shattered and broken and refused to be put back together? There's no way that the wick could ever have the fuel to burn bright. And this is what I know is true, is that there are many people, my life included, for years that I refused to forgive someone who hurt me. And I was, y'all, rightfully so. I should have been upset about it, but I wasn't supposed to hold on to it. And I just want to invite you this morning. Maybe you are holding on to and you, for dear life. You may be sitting with the person that you won't forgive. I double dog dare you, triple double dog dare you to forgive. Why? Because he so lavishly dumped and poured his love and grace upon you so that you could take that and be a light in darkness and show the same thing that you received for someone else. And then they see it and be like, that person's different. What's different about them? Why do they act like that? Why do they do that? Why do they talk like that? It's because they follow Jesus. Because I want to be more like him. And I want to be less like me. The light of the world. This is what Jesus asked for us to do. I know a lot of Christians, after I got radically saved, I got tricked into coming to church in a retreat, gave my life to Jesus. I came for free food and girls, and I left with salvation. And had no plan of being a pastor. Here we are. God's got a sense of humor. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I have friends message me on Facebook. It's like, you're really a pastor? I'm like, dude, I'm trying to figure out the same thing, right? Man, I prioritized healing. And I remember going back into the Bible school that I was at. I was playing baseball. And I remember finding guys that were Christ followers that I had no clue that they were followers of Jesus. And I found myself getting frustrated. Like, why in the world would you not tell someone? All these years, I thought you were just mad at the world, talking bad to everybody, shining the spotlight on everybody else's sin because they sin differently than you do. Religion. This was the Pharisees. This was the Sadducees. This was the religious leaders. We've all sinned, by the way. If you're a sinner, you're in good company. We all are, okay? I would say, if you think you're perfect, you will hate this church. And God takes these broken pieces, he puts them together, puts it on a stand, and he says, and let your light shine before men, not so that they would see you, but that they would see me and glorify my Father in heaven. Why would we hide the light? Would you write this down? Leave the light on. Leave the light on. When I got saved, I decided to start a life group in my garage, lived with a couple college roommates. I would make some cookies and you try to be hospitable. And like 5 or 6 weeks, nobody showed up to my life group. I need to confess and be healed, all right? And my roommates would leave. And then before they got back, I would mess the house up to make it look like people were there. And they'd be like, how was group? It's crazy, man. Like, I'm like taking bites of cookies like it's like Christmas Eve or something. I'm like, what is going on? And then eventually guys started showing up. Baseball players from all different teams in the city, and then we started gathering in my garage. People were donating couches and chairs. There'd be 40, 45, 50 dudes showing up, sitting on the tailgates of trucks and in the garage, and people were getting saved. People were getting set free. People were praying out loud for the first time. People were forgiving. And y'all, this little kid, his name's Preston, he would come and he would sit. He was probably 12 or 13 years old, and he would come and sit right at the corner of the garage. It was so creepy. He lived across the street, to be honest with you guys. And he would sit out there, and I noticed he would sit out there, and he had a hearing aid, and he would turn his hearing aid all the way up, and he would try to listen. I'm like, this dude's eavesdropping. I'm like, what is he doing? And I'm a new Christian, okay? Don't judge me. Jesus said, don't push away the little children. I was like, get away. You're being weird, you know? And I was nervous. You're going to hear something. You're going to learn some stuff at this group. I don't know if you know these things, but like, we're talking about some serious stuff. And so this kid, he would listen. We're about to close in prayer, and he would run back to his house right across the street. It's happened every week. As soon as we turned the garage light on, Preston was sitting outside the garage. He was listening. We'd pray. He would run back to his house. Well, one day I was about to start group, and you know, there's guys, I mean, this was incredible. Guys were like wanting to get baptized in the bathtub at the house. I was like, I don't know if that's okay. You know, like, probably need to clean the bathroom up a little bit. And Preston comes running across the street. It's life group night. Guys are already showing up. And he's like, Seth, this dude is not even a Christ follower yet. He's like, come over to my house and tell my family about this guy. Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh. I wasn't ready for this, right? First speaking engagement did not go well. Now I'm like, this is going to be bad. So, I go over to his house, and he comes inside. He's like, tell him. There's like people eating dinner. People eating dinner. They did not want me to be there. They didn't ask for me to be there. And I'm like, what am I about to do? And so Preston's like, tell them. And I'm like, tell them what? And he's like, tell them about the guy that was casting out the demons. I was like, that's not a good place to start, you know? And so I shared the gospel that we are broken, that we need a savior. Yo, they are watching TV. And he's like, tell them. And I'm like, I gotta follow through with this. So I start saying, Jesus died for our sin. You don't have to be separated from your Father in heaven. There is grace for you. You cannot outrun the grace of God on your life. And no one moved a muscle. No one responded to the gospel. All heads, you know, bowed and eyes closed. I didn't do that, but I just left. I was, it was awkward. And I walked back over to the house and we have group. And I'm thinking, none of the guys, I'm like, the weirdest thing just happened to me. A few days later, I'm pulling in the driveway. And I'll be honest with you guys, I would try to avoid him because he was just wild for Jesus. And he wasn't even following Jesus yet. He runs across the street. He's like, Seth, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I was like, oh man, he's about to turn up. Like, I'm like, if he's doing that before he followed Jesus, what's he about to do now? And so this kid, I was like, how did you follow Jesus? I was sitting at school, and I knew right there in class I needed to make a decision. He's at his desk. This is a kid. I was like, what in the world? I can't get grown people to follow Jesus. What are you like? And it's this childlike, innocent faith. Hey man, his home was broken. Didn't grow up with anything. And he's like, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I confess my sin. He's like, I've been listening. I'm like, I know I saw you out there. Like, you're not sneaky, you know? And y'all, this kid would meet people at their cars as they got home from work. People would try to avoid him. He would want to carry their groceries in. I don't recommend this, okay? Holding doors open. Can I tell you? Can I check? People checking the mail. Can I tell you about Jesus? I'm like, Preston is going to get shot. Why am I telling you this story? One, it's very funny. But y'all, Preston heard the gospel. Preston responded to the gospel. Yes. And there was nobody that was going to shut him up about it. And some people in this room, so concerned about what everybody else thinks. Been a Christian for years. So concerned about what everybody else thinks. You can't even focus on Jesus during worship because you're so concerned about people. Someone's lifting their hands. I ask people to raise their hand in church, like vote, and they're like, I'm not raising my hand. It's like, chill out. Be the light of the world. Why? Because a city on a hill cannot be hidden. I love that Fayetteville just happens to be the city on a hill. You know, it's like the hill. I just wonder what it would be like if we had such a life-giving culture at this church. Church didn't just happen on Sunday. We celebrate all that God's doing on Sunday, that all he's doing the rest of the week. We just get together and we throw a party for Jesus. People don't care about what other people think, and we get on fire. We go. And what I visualize every single time I leave church, and I pray this in Jesus' name, is when we dismiss from this place, it's complete darkness out there, and light just enters into the city from every church that's lifting up the name of Jesus. Why are we having a third service? It's because we need more room for people. I told y'all, when this room is at like 60 to 70%, kids ministry is completely full. We're breaking laws. Like, we got to do something. Parking lot, no parking. So I could ramble on and on. I am pleading with you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, would you please go and be a light, not in church, but in your sphere of influence, in your family, in your jobs, in your school, in your classroom, because you never know who's watching. It may be a little creepy kid. It could be a grown adult that's your boss. And I see that you respond differently to adversity than the rest of everybody else. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get an opportunity to share the hope of the world. If you will close your eyes, I want to pray for you.